Yeah, I saw it.
I saw it.
Perfect, perfect.
Practice don't make perfect.
Practice make permanence. This permanent, y'all. This is permanent.
Welcome to Humble Brag. I'm Nate Mendel, and I review self-help videos for you so they don't translate to self-hurt. I cut through the jargon and bring you the meaning. Enjoy. Today we're going to review Eric Thomas, one of his videos at least, one of my favorite, speaks to me, speaks to my soul. Let's check out Eric Thomas and his version of motivation.
And when you get to the point where all you want to do is be successful, as bad as you want to breathe, then you'll be successful. And I'm here to tell you, number one, that most of you say you want to be successful, but you don't want it bad, you just kind of want it. You don't want it badder than you want a party. You don't want it as much as you want to be cool. Most of you don't want success as much as you want to sleep. Some of you love sleep more than you love success. And I'm here to tell you today, if you're going to be successful, you've got to be willing to give up sleep.
There's something so raw about that truth. How many of us, and that resonates with me myself, it's like on a day-to-day, how many of us want success so bad, but not as bad as we want to kind of sleep in, right? Not as bad as it's going to form or shape behavioral changes, right? We really want success, but I like to sleep in even more. You have to really be real with yourself and ask yourself, look at your behavior, look at your actual, the factual behaviors, your actions. Are you sleeping in, right? Are you putting in 10, 12, 15 hour days? Or do you conceptualize success and you only put in 2 hours of effort? Very important principles.
You gotta be willing to work off for 3 hours of sleep, 2 hours. If you really wanna be successful, someday you're gonna have to stay up 3 days in a row. Because if you go to sleep, you might miss the opportunity to be successful. That's how bad you gotta want it. You gotta go days without, listen to me, you gotta wanna be successful so bad that you forget to eat. Beyonce said once she was on the set doing her thing, 3 days had gone by, she forgot she didn't eat.
Yeah, very simple principle and true that when you're very busy and extremely passionate about what you do, time flies by. You're not hungry. The pursuit and the success of what you're achieving is satiating you 100%. And food doesn't even come to mind. You can find yourself a full day in, sometimes with some people, on some levels, multiple days in, you haven't eaten. So this is not a sentiment, it's a reality of if you're operating on that level, you will find yourself not eating. If you find yourself thinking about food every 2 hours, you are simply not operating on that level. Maybe you're engaged in something that you don't have full passion for. Maybe you've lost heart. Maybe you never had the motivation to begin with. But it's very true.
Because he was engaged. I'll never forget when 50 Cent was doing his movie. I did a little research on 50. And 50 said that when he wasn't doing the movie, he was doing the soundtrack. And they said, when do you sleep, 50? Sleep, he said, sleep. Sleep is for those people who are broke. I don't sleep. He said, I got an opportunity to make a dream become a reality. Football players, how many football?
He said, 50 said, 50 Cent said, sleep are for those people who are broke. What is it about these taglines that are both so true and so annoying? And I think they are annoying because they're true. And I think we can see it in our own life. If you look at your level of success, when you feel successful, when things are working out, deals are going through, business is happening, you're achieving and all that stuff. When that's happening, you sleep less, you do more exercise, you're healthier all around, and you really feel that, right? And when you're not successful or when you're on your lows, you sleep more, you do less exercise, you eat less healthy, so on and so forth. So These are all true principles. It's just like, look at your own life. Look at the patterns. It's all there.
I got to answer. If I don't answer the phone, I'm going to die. I'm saying to you today that there are some of you, if you give up your cell phone, you would be successful. But your cell phone is more important to you than your success. I'm going to say it again. I'm going to hurt somebody. Some of you need to give up.
I'm going to hurt somebody.
Because the time you spend on your...
He's anticipating that this is going to hurt somebody's feelings.
Cell phone could be used for your success. The time you could be using to be successful, you're using it on the cell.
100. And in fact, you could check this out because I believe cell phones have tracking now. And if they don't, you could put an app on the phone that tracks usage. I believe there is tracking though built into most phones these days. I have it with... on my downtime, I play a computer game, a PC game, and I look at the amount of hours that I've spent over the past 10 years playing that game. Now, of course, humans need leisure, right? That's why we have TV shows, and there's downtime. You have to relax. You have to let the mind. But I look at the amount of hours that I spent playing that game in the past 10 years. Even though I don't do it full time, it's not my job, I'm not overly passionate about it. It's just something I do in my spare time or when I'm bored or when I just want to pass some time or I want my... The amount of hours that I've spent over the past 10 years, probably hundreds of hours, if those hours were dedicated to continue achieving the goals that I already have, it is unthinkable how further along I would be in my journey, how many more goals I would have met already. And this is the same thing, phone. How many hours do you spend on your phone each month, each year, each decade?
And the cell phone is not bringing you nothing but a bill. And somebody has told you you couldn't live without it. I'm talking about going deep now, giving up stuff. Watch what it says.
Ooh, I like that. Giving up stuff. It goes back to the earlier principle of sleep. We want success, but how much are we willing to give up for it? This is real. These are not sentiments. These are not concepts. Ask yourself these real questions every day. One of the reasons I love about him, right? He's obviously a very passionate, one of my favorite, absolutely one of my favorite, because he speaks to me. Everybody has a different style and a different voice and a different language that connects to them. Eric Thomas speaks to me. I like the tough love, ultra passionate type of motivation. I think it goes to the core, right? You can't sleep. You can't listen to 5-10 minutes of Eric Thomas and then sleep in. If you could listen to him and sleep in the next day, then you simply don't have what it takes to be the elite. You know what I mean? It's just, there's nothing inside of you that could stimulate you. I don't look at someone like him and the stuff that he says as it's not entertainment. It's motivation. It's giving me fuel to operate at my peak and continue to execute. Some people don't like the yelling, the screaming, the cursing, the passion. Actually, I don't even think he curses. Very passionate, yells. I don't think he curses. The last one we watched, the last one I reviewed, Tony Robbins, he likes cursing. See, but there's different styles in motivation. He's passion, and you feel that passion in your core. Tony Robbins uses cursing, but he also is more on the emotional side, right? He'll get down and dirty and hug somebody and shed tears and all that stuff. Eric Thomas is more healthy aggression, pure motivational aggression, and that speaks to me very strongly because that's how I feel. Then there are motivators who are well-spoken. So there's different types of motivation. I love hardcore passion and aggression towards the passion that you have. Because ultimately, I think it's like, you know, if you have gasoline and then you have certain gases that burn even hotter and, you know, they're even more flammable and shit like that. That's Eric Thomas.
To be able at any moment to sacrifice what we are for what we can be. I don't do well in math. You're right. You ain't never studied. I'm not good in writing because you have never written before. But I dare you to fail in writing for a whole year to see if you can get to the end.
I agree with that. Most of the times when we think and tell ourselves that we're not good at something, it's because we never actually, we don't want to be good at it. We never actually put in the time and tried. A lot of the stuff that I didn't know I had a knack for, I found out that I do by actually trying and doing it. So we always have to ask ourselves when we say we're not good at something, or do we want to be good at it? Have we tried to be good at it? Have we put in that time? Like he just said, I dare you to write for a year, right? Practice writing, learn writing, do creative writing, and then tell me you're not good at it. All right, let's look at one more.
This is permanent. You can go wherever you want to go from here. Some of y'all have been worshiped since you was in high school, so you don't really know how to grind. Like, you talk grind. Like, I love it. Like, I go into the weight room, and y'all playing like Pac. Y'all playing Biggie. Like, y'all all in it. Like, you like Pac, but you don't have the spirit of Pac. You like love Pac. You like listening to Pac. You like listening to Biggie. You like to talk about the grind, but you don't really know what the grind's like. I know what the grind is like. I was homeless. I ain't out of trash can. Now, go on the internet right now. I'm one of the number one speakers in the world. I started from the bottom. Like, you like listening to it and see. Started from the bottom. Now, what's your bottom? What is your bottom when you've been worshipped since middle school? You've been tall your whole life, big your whole life.
This particular piece, I don't necessarily agree with. What's your bottom? I understand the motivation behind what he's saying, but bottom, these concepts are relative, right? What's your bottom? Because his bottom was being homeless. And just like with everything in life, there's relativity. It's all relative. For some, the bottom is drugs and rehab and depression and suicidal thoughts. For others, the bottom could be completely different. So the notion of hardship is a completely relative notion, just intellectually. So I personally, when talking about people's struggles and pain or thinking about it, I try to be more accommodating in that respect.
They worship you so much now that you think it's about you. You don't even know what the grind looked like.
But at the same time, you could glean out of this something to be grateful for, right? Because by understanding that your struggles are petty compared to other people, again, taking into account that for you they're difficult, but understanding that your struggles are petty compared to what other people are going through in life, it could potentially motivate you to be more grateful and realize that you're in a good position to take advantage of it, so on and so forth. So there is a utility in the sentiment, but you have to understand it from both sides.
I'm from Detroit, homeless. Mama got pregnant with me at 17 years old, high school dropout. Took me 12 years to get a four-year degree. I'm coming now. It's in view. You finally made it to the big leagues, and now you want to chill? Now you got the big head? Now you can't grind? You here now. You here now. You finally made it. And this is where you break up? This is where you start chilling? This where you get comfortable?
That's an interesting concept. Very relevant. You know, I think he's talking to a team of like sports players, maybe football players or something. It's great that they need somebody with that much energy to motivate them. But the notion of just starting to make it and then taking a step back is a real notion. And the truth is, it is at that very period that it requires so much more effort. You know, there's a difference between, let's say in business, achieving relative success and scaling like a tech startup scales and becomes a unicorn. Huge difference. So when you reach that initial success point, maybe it's 100 grand a year, maybe it's $250,000 a year, you're comfortable, right? You're riding around in your new car and you bought your first house, very cool. So you take that step back. That's essentially what he's talking about. Now you want to chill?
You made it now. You made it now. You in the big leagues now. They watching you now. This is where you make it permanent. Yeah, I saw it. Perfect, perfect. Nope, practice don't make perfect. Practice make permanence. This permanent, y'all. This is permanent. You can go.
Yeah, I saw it. Practice don't make perfect. Practice make permanent. I'm guessing he's quoting them where they may have said practice makes perfect. But practice makes permanent is actually a very, very powerful lesson. If you give it your all, you're 100% passionate about what you do, and you give it 110%, you're building permanence. And it doesn't matter what it is. Intellectual achievements, spiritual achievements, monetary achievements. When you do something in repetition and become really, really good at it, like they say, riding a bike, it is permanently affixed to you your entire life.
Wherever you want to go from here, it does not take talent. You don't have to be talented, right? You don't have to be gifted. You don't have to be the quickest, the strongest. You don't have to be the most intelligent to get to where I am. That's what you got to do. You just got to grind, though. Your grind, you got to outgrind. So many of you heard me say this. Your father, listen to me, might own a company. Your mama might be a millionaire. You might come from privilege. Your daddy might hook you up with a car. He might know people. He might be able to get you a job. But you will not outwork me. And what you have to decide in your position in the NCAA, you have to make a decision that nobody in this league in your position will outwork you.
It's that mentality. This is success mentality. You have to adapt that mentality. In summary, I would say like this. Talking about the mentality, meaning you have to adapt the mentality that you are going to be the strongest, the most passionate, the earliest, right? The first mover in business. If it's in sports, you're going to outwork everyone, outpractice, outperform. You have to. If we're talking about anything on the highest level, that is how you have to operate. There is no in between. You always have to differentiate in your mind what level you're trying to achieve something at. There's different levels at things. At business, are you trying to be the best and the biggest in your industry, in your space? Understand that. If you're just trying to be mediocre, another guy on the block, another chop shop, these philosophies are meaningless. You don't need them. You don't need Eric Thomas to wake up at 9 a.m. and work a 9-to-5. You don't. You could do that. You could smoke weed all night. You could do that shit. You need Eric Thomas' philosophy if you're trying to be the top. And he's going around talking to people who are trying to be at the top, whether it's sports, business, or anything else they're trying to achieve. So you always have to differentiate in life. It doesn't matter what it is. What are you trying to achieve? Are you happy with mediocre? Or are you trying to be the best? If you're trying to be the best and you're not the embodiment of what he is talking about, you're not going to get there. It just doesn't work that way. There's a reason why, you know, 1%ers, we always talk about 1%. What's it mean, 1%er? Everybody thinks they're going to be different. No, you won't. You're probably going to be the 99%er. You probably will not be the 1%er. And if you occupy the fantasy that you will be, without putting in this type of work, motivation, and effort, then you're simply wrong and you're going to find out. In summary, I would say, look, his passion and his style, spot on. You see he's standing there, bent over, sweating. He's so into it, so passionate. Everything about him is real and just, I've never really heard him spew shit that you could say is like wrong or he's off point. When it comes to just pure motivation, I'm not talking about self-help. Like, there's a difference between self-help and motivation. It's like in the Jewish world, you have like the musser. Like, think of Eric Thomas as musser in a certain regard, right? Not like Tony Robbins, not like other speakers. Tony Robbins, as we saw in the last one, he's dealing with broken people, emotionally broken, and giving them tools, self-help tools. Eric Thomas almost always is spewing fire, motivation, musser. So, you know, if you're a litvak, you should love him. If you're a chassid and you like musser, like my dad, you should love Eric Thomas because he's hardcore musser. You see how real he is. He is one of the biggest out there. Almost everything out of his mouth is pure gold. I think he's phenomenal. And if I would program an alarm clock to play any motivational person out there, it would probably be him. I would want to wake up at 5 a.m. for Vasikin or whatever my aspirations and goals are, hearing him yelling in my ear. Thank you for tuning in. Until next time, peace.